T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the NFL's new season, the NFL draft. These elite players are headed to the National Football League. They'll know their fate within hours.
With the first choice in the 2002 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select David Carr.
With the 12th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Deshaun Watson.
Back to the drawing board.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, it is draft day. The draft is kicking off, and you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610 at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, Heisman Trophy winner Andre Ware. We will have that covered, locked and loaded. And Clint, yesterday we kicked off the show. Is there any chance that anything could happen with a trade with Deshaun Watson? And damn it, then we hear this. This is from Ian Rappaport. Discussing the Niners. While focused on the draft, the 49ers have been monitoring the veteran QBs, Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. They've been monitoring their situation and doing their due diligence on what could happen. Man, that number 3 pick is what they have. Deshaun, you said is slim. Slim is still there, and it looks like potentially the Niners have been checking in on it.
We always say the chance is slim to none, and Slim just walked out the door. Well, with this report right here, I think Slim just tiptoed back in that joint for another drink, right?
You,
one more.
Like,
well, give me one more beer. You know, he's that old one more guy at the bar. One more, and he ends up being the last guy that leaves the bar.
I didn't think he was coming back in.
Look here, I don't know how much truth is to it, but I tell you what, I would believe, I've said this all along, I believe that there are still teams seriously interested in Deshaun Watson, at least to the point where they're quote-unquote monitoring the situation, monitoring the quarterback and what's going on with him legally and with the Texans. And the fact that it's dropping right now, quite frankly, it's a double-edged sword for me, Show. It scares the shit out of me, man. It scares the heck out of me, man.
It's draft day.
Yeah, it's draft day. Get ready. It scares the heck out of me, man. I'd like to get beyond the Deshaun Watson soap opera in Houston one way or another. But the fact that the 49ers are still flirting tells me that Jimmy Garoppolo would for sure be part of this. And Caserio and Easterby could overvalue him in this trade. Mm. That scares me.
So you think your fear is that Garoppolo coming back in the trade, which I think he would be used as, in their thoughts, this is all right. We've got a quarterback now. We've got a young quarterback now.
Absolutely. I think there's a combination of two things, right? Show is the Texans are in a position where they can't be as big and bold as they once were with Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Like, you got to go, hey, we're going to take less. And then on the flip side of that is I could see Easterby and Caserio being, man, we're going to get lucky. we might have to take less, but we might get that side piece quarterback might be Jimmy Garoppolo. And we love Jimmy Garoppolo.
We had him.
The odds of one, if not both, of Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby loving, not liking, but loving Jimmy Garoppolo being a Texan is very, very possible, right? And that part of it scares me is that if the 49ers are involved with the Texans quarterback in any way, shape, or form, that means Garoppolo is involved in some kind of move. And the possible crush that anybody that has anything to do with New England could possibly have on Garoppolo scares me. And it's not as a side piece. It would be that they would overvalue him and take him instead of another second-round pick or him in place of a late first in a year or 2 years, you know, down the road. That part scares me. However, there is a part to this news that I really, really like. And it has everything to do with the same characters that I just mentioned, Caserio and Easterby and Garoppolo. Could Caserio and Easterby like Garoppolo but not be in love with Garoppolo? Make a move.
I don't know if anyone should be in love with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, look here. There's a lot of guys that I mean.
You might like him.
I mean, I'm driving home yesterday watching Texans All Access and Caserio talking about, I mean, was amping up our guy Cooks. And I like Brandon Cooks, but I mean, let's not amp him up like he's the next coming now. But the part that I like is, could Caserio and Easterby trade for some draft capital and Garoppolo and then flip Garoppolo for more draft capital?
Yes.
Because you got Tyrod Taylor, you got Ryan Finley, you can draft a quarterback late this year, you can free agent a quarterback this year if you want to. So it's a double-edged sword, man. It scares me on one side that these guys could really think they're getting lucky with Garoppolo being part of a package. And then on the other side, I get excited because just maybe that side piece quarterback that they would get in a deal for Watson could be flipped for more draft capital, because we know there's no secret. I think New England would really, really, really love to have Jimmy Garoppolo.
You think
in their
they
system.
Would? You think they would rather have Jimmy back right now than one of the young rookies than drafting one of the quarterbacks?
I think they'd rather have Jimmy back and not have to lose their first round pick this year.
Yeah, that right? sounds more I mean, like Bill.
Because they could get Jimmy back and draft another player at a different position, a receiver that they want that could possibly fall to them. You know, across the board on the defensive side of the football, there'll be plenty of prospects left in that 15.
Because to go get one of the quarterbacks, it wouldn't just be like their first round pick. They got to give up a good amount of capital, a good amount.
Well, even
of draft
if it was like, yeah, I would think they would have to move up. But let's say they don't, and let's say Mac Jones falls to them somehow, right? Or hell, any of the other four fall to him somehow. That would be a beautiful thing if any of these five quarterbacks fall to 15, and New England has to use their number 15 overall pick on a quarterback, and that's the quarterback they get versus Jimmy Garoppolo and a number 15 overall prospect that, again, remember, I mean, they're thinking the top 10 picks. There could be one, maybe two defensive prospects drafted in the top 10. There's going to be some absolute killers on the defensive side of the football left at 15 for New England. So I think New England would be super excited and be super aggressive to get Jimmy Garoppolo. So as it relates to the Texans, can the Texans get him and flip him? If that's the case, I'm in love.
That's why I would love it. If you're just jumping in, the 49ers, who really a lot of people say the key to the draft, they're at number three. It's been reports from Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero of NFL Network that the 49ers have been monitoring Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson to see what it would take to get those guys in a potential trade. And the reason why I think, man, you got to seriously, seriously look at this is because you could, with the quarterbacks up there, if you were to get the third pick, if you're the Texans, you could really turn that into maybe what you potentially the closest thing you could get to what you potentially thought you would get for Deshaun, and that is multiple first-round picks. The 49ers, they gave up three. They swapped their first-round pick and then gave up two other ones to get up there to that same spot. You could potentially get back what you do. And like you said, you can't keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Not when you got Taylor. You can't keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Flip him for another two. And now you are ready to roll right now to start your rebuild with premium picks when maybe you were just resigned to the fact that we just got to wait a year. we got to wait till next year so we can do something with Deshaun. You may be able to do it right now. And that's why I think the Texans have to seriously, seriously look hard at that, because that's just out there, and that's what they've got to do. So we'll keep you updated on this if anything happens in the first round with the Texans, but it does appear that the 49ers are keeping an eye on it. Clint, this also has been reported today. This is going to be a wild day if this is anything.
This one just popped.
This is just 2:10 already. Adam Schefter reports Tim Tebow recently reached out to the Jaguars and requested a tryout at the tight end position.
Holy mother of God!
The tight end position, and a move many believe would have extended his NFL career initially before he retired or before he stopped playing. He recently worked out with the Jaguars tight end coach. No decision has been made, but as also reported later by Ian Rappaport, that discussions have been talked about on signing him. This is Tim Tebow, 33 years old, back at it, potentially in the NFL for his old college coach Urban Meyer.
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting.
Come on, Tim.
This is an interesting deal for me, show. And I'm not a Tim Tebow fan, right? But this is going to be couched as a great for the culture move. If you talked about leadership and culture in the game of football in the last 25 years, Tim Tebow is going to be in that conversation. Period. Love him or hate him, Tim Tebow is going to be brought up in that conversation. That documentary is going to have Tim Tebow with what looks like blood on his face, but it's really paint from the field, you know, running up and down the sideline, and the quote that's posted on the stadium.
There's no quarterback that will work harder. There's no
like we
team.
Like we ain't all busting our ass. Let's be honest here.
Not I mean, busting it like Tim.
But the point is it's going to be couched as a why not, man. Add a guy like this, a culture guy, to your locker room, man, in a transition where you know the locker room needs to buy into what Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence are selling, and it's gonna be couched as that. And look, it I'm not a big fan of it.
I was about to say,
I'm not a big fan of it, but if you can pull it off, which Tim Tebow's pulled it off multiple times. If you can pull it off, then so be it. Hell, the one thing when Jacksonville is it can't hurt. Yeah, it's the one thing in Jacksonville, you know. Is it, like, this is a very safe move. You know it can't hurt if they end up signing him. The interesting thing is Parcells had a couple of moles in Dallas when I was there. Mm. You know, I'd be willing to bet you that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby had a couple of moles over here in the Texans locker room over the last couple of years. You talk about one hell of a locker room mole. You talk about – he better go out there every day in practice and ball out, or people are going to be looking at him outside. Like, watch him out. Tim just walked in.
I think this is going to happen, and I'm telling you, I wonder how that goes over in the locker room. Your Urban Meyer trying to start this off. And Tim
if it's a gimmick, if it's a gimmick from the jump, dudes are gonna laugh at it. But if he's legit and can play a little bit at tight end, which I think is a very big stretch, but if he can, then I think guys, he got a chance to get the respect of the locker room. But I think it is a monster stretch to think that Tim Tebow can put, after what we've seen, can put his hand in the dirt or stand up in a 2-point stance and play either style of tight end at the NFL level. I think it's a big time stretch.
As of today, the Texans do not pick in the first round, and as of today, aren't picking tonight. But what realistically can they do? How far up could they realistically move up? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Draft tonight, just hours away. Hours away.
I'm so excited.
I know your starts right here at 6. Draft at 7. We got you covered right here on Sports Radio.
You got a draft party 16. Going tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You and the wife and the three kids? Five-man party? I hear
that's
you.
That's right. I'm a party, and I'm going to be partying right here. Texans Draft Live, presented by Mattress Firm. Yeah, it starts tonight at 7 p.m. Mark Vandermeer, The Voice. And draft expert, we had him on earlier this week. If you missed it, check that Odyssey app, 235 on Tuesday. We had the expert, the draft expert, John Harris. He was on with us, and he'll be on tonight along with Heisman Trophy winner. We got
Dre.
We got royalty in here. Heisman Trophy winner Andre Ware tonight.
But, he could spin it around a little bit, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. He could, man. They sure gave him the opportunity at Houston. Let him throw the ball, 40, 50 times a game?
Yeah, baby.
They weren't running. They weren't running that bad boy.
That was the run and shoot. That was the real deal Holyfield.
So what will the Texans be doing? What will the Texans and their brass, Caserio, Easterby and company, what will they be doing? They don't have a first-round pick tonight. Caserio kind of gave some thoughts when he spoke to the media. He kind of gave some thoughts about what potentially they would do even though they don't have a pick on night one.
You know, you want to be respectful of the process, and there's certain things that we can do. We can have some discussions about maybe some particular players or just trades happen. Okay, what was a trade? Okay, and just go through the mechanics. This way, when we actually get to that point, whenever we pick, you know, it's kind of seamless and we just haven't sat around and done nothing, which hopefully we won't do.
Seems like they're just getting themselves in a process as if they are involved in Thursday night.
Yeah, I love this, man. I mean, the more I hear Nick Caserio talk, the more I'm buying in, man. Obviously, he hadn't made a move yet that tells you much, but man, I like hearing this guy talk. And when he talks about the efficient use of time tonight, in real time, although you don't have a draft pick to simulate the process as if you did have a draft pick, as if a trade did go down. In fact, hell, Nick Caserio at some point tonight could say, we're going to act as if we've got the 15th overall pick, all right? And then they could be in the middle of workflow communicating back and forth and simulating this process, and then he can throw a sudden change in there, right? He could throw a trade in the mix at number 3 in the draft or number 10 in the draft, and then he got to watch his guys, watch how his guys and how his staff responds in the moment, man. I don't think the Texans are doing anything tonight that any other organization wouldn't be doing if they were in the Texans' shoes. But I like to hear Nick Caserio talk about using the time wisely and getting the reps, so to speak, with his staff.
Yeah, I like that too. I like, because you get a sense of knowing what you're going to do. This will help you in future drafts as well with that crew.
Well, it'll help you. It'll help you tomorrow, right? When it comes down to that pick, it's going to help you. This is the first time this group as a staff has done it together, right? So how does Nick Caserio, he can say that he wants to be, have an open forum to where anybody can speak and you know, how many guys he wants in the room, but ultimately they won't know what Caserio wants or what he likes until it's in the heat of the moment and he's in there and he ripped somebody's tail for speaking out of turn or trying to communicate something that's off the cuff and off topic. The good thing is tonight they will be able to get a small little taste of one round through of what Nick Casario's like. Nick will find out what his scouting group is like and how the communication is going.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, Tyler, what you got? What's the breaking news?
Adam Schefter, reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers, is so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team, league and team sources told ESPN.
Oh, God.
No surprise. I literally, when the Aaron...
You're not surprised at
not
all
Not one bit.
That?
When the Aaron Rodgers news broke right before our show, I retweeted it, quote tweeted it. Check it out. Clint Sterner, at Clint Sterner, I said, Aaron Rodgers wants this to happen. Zero doubt.
If you're missing what Clint's talking about, if you're just jumping in, Tom Pelissero reported earlier today that the 49ers, who have pick 3, reached out to the Packers on Wednesday about trading for Aaron Rodgers, but no formal offer was made. A source said that there is 0% chance that Green Bay would deal the reigning MVP.
Silly.
But there were talks in place. Bill Michaels, who covers the Packers in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, he had said that they had offered a third round pick for the third pick overall, the 49ers, multiple other picks, and players off the Niners roster, including Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Packers turned it down. So more details, but when you hear that, yes, I think Aaron would love to go to the 49ers and play with Kyle Shanahan and company. But
zero doubt, he would love to go to the 49ers, play back at home, represent 49er Nation, so to speak, whatever the hell they call themselves out there, that fan base and that organization. And look, this is something Green Bay's silly, man. I mean, they're bound and determined.
How are they here?
They're bound and determined to screw up this process, right? You last year it was you draft Jordan Love. Wasn't that last year?
Yes.
Or no, was that 2 years ago?
No, that was last year. They slapped him in the face in the first round. They drafted Jordan Love.
COVID-19 draft. Jordan Love, okay? And y'all can all act like y'all are buddies and it didn't rub him wrong, but there's zero doubt about it. That rubbed Aaron Rodgers wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he's at least hinted to it.
No, he's come out on Pat McAfee's show and on several different shows and said, look, it ain't what I expected. I'm clearly not their future, but it is what it is. We'll see. Time will tell, right? Well, then fast forward to this year, and right around, obviously the draft is right around this time of year, but it wasn't a week, 2 weeks ago when word broke that Aaron Rodgers' contract is supposedly handcuffing the Green Bay Packers from making the necessary moves, whether it's responding to COVID-19 and the loss of revenue across the NFL landscape, or it's responding to needing weapons on the offense or defense and being able to put the roster together in the best shape. It's Aaron Rodgers again is supposedly handcuffing. So Green Bay is absolutely silly. They're bound and determined to screw this thing up. Green Bay should, at the very least, have strongly considered this, not let a report get out where they said, oh, there's zero chance. You drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. Aaron's contract is supposedly handcuffing the organization. And Aaron, here's the reality of the situation. They're going to put Aaron in a spot where Aaron's going to be like, hey, man, I'm good.
Is he going to be like Deshaun? Is he going to do what Deshaun was
doing? I think Aaron will hang him up. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's
a Super Bowl champ. He'll hang it up and go, what was that, Jeopardy?
I think they hired somebody for Jeopardy.
Did they already hire somebody?
Yeah.
Well, if the ink ain't dry, they can get Aaron Rodgers.
Get Aaron back.
I mean, it's just one of them things where Aaron's going to have options.
And more on the story. This is Adam Schefter reporting this. If you're just missing this news that's breaking, that the reports are that Aaron Rodgers is disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers and that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. The Packers know about this, and Adam Schefter is reporting that the team president, the GM, and the head coach, Matt LaFleur, they've all flown out at separate points of the offseason to meet with Aaron Rodgers in person throughout different points of the offseason to try to communicate with them, to smooth whatever this is that needs to be smoothed over. But apparently, it didn't work. When you hear this come out, I believe Aaron Rodgers wanted this to come out. And I think a lot of it has to do with, boy, he heard that deal, because that's – I can't think of a better place that Aaron would want to go than San Francisco. If he could pick the place he could go, that would be at home. Good weather, great offensive mind that he would love to work with.
No question.
He knows the system. Let's rock and roll. That would be the spot he would love to go to. And then you hear that come out, and then it's not a shock that within, an hour or two of that report coming out, that Aaron Rodgers we're hearing he's disgruntled.
Well, don't forget, too, Show, in this equation, in this formula here of all of us landing at a place where Aaron Rodgers is clearly disgruntled and wants out of Green Bay, don't forget that Tampa Bay's out there returning all 22 starters. Kansas City's out there going to return every player that produced at all last year, and they're going to upgrade the offensive line.
And both those quarterbacks seem to get whatever the hell it is they want.
Yeah, and they're going to spread themselves thin doing it. I mean, and don't forget, guys like Josh Allen up at Buffalo. Oh, he didn't have enough weapons? Okay, we'll go get Diggs. Right? Oh, Kyler Murray out in Arizona. Don't have enough weapons? We'll find a way to get DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, and we'll talk about in the rumor this off leading up to the draft at one point was Arizona making a move to get up in the top five, top ten to take Kyle Pitts. Obviously didn't have legs, but that's the kind of stuff that Kyler Murray has to hear. That's the kind of stuff that these other quarterbacks are having to hear. And Aaron Rodgers is he's sitting at home being a surefire Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion, being right on the verge the last 2 years of getting to another big dance, and his team's drafting his replacement and drafting the biggest legged running back we've seen since Nick Chubb from Georgia. That's in, where's he at now? Cleveland.
Cleveland.
I mean, it's just like it's a slap in the face.
This is going to be a crazy day. This NFL draft.
I'm here for it.
Buckle up. Tyler's about to lose his mind in every way. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, just jumping to Aaron Rodgers, is telling some people within the organization that he does not want to be with the Green Bay Packers, a team that's been to back-to-back NFC championship games. He wants on. All right, how will the top 10 go? How will this draft go? What will be the picks? We'll give you our picks of the top 10 coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, what a crazy day. Draft coming up in a matter of hours. You can hear that right here as the Texans Draft Live presented by Mattress Firm is tonight. Texans voice Mark Vandermeer, draft expert John Harris, and Heisman Trophy winner Andre Ware will be here. And then we'll hold it down all the way throughout this first round. Crazy day already. Aaron Rodgers is talking about he wants out of Green Bay. Tim Tebow is doing tryouts and may be signed as a tight end in Jacksonville. And apparently the Niners have been keeping tabs on both Aaron Rodgers, offered a trade that was turned down to Aaron Rodgers, and tabs on Deshaun Watson. A crazy, crazy day. But, Clint, how will this first round go? Or how will the top 10 go? Right, everybody's been talking about the craziness, how many quarterbacks will go, how many receivers will go? When will the first defensive player be taken? What are the trades? In this, I want to go through this top 10 and see where we think they will go. You can invoke trades. You can do what you want. All right? I just want to see how we see these top 10 picks going. All right, pick one, Clint, Jacksonville. The Jags have the first pick with their 1-15 record that they had. Where will Jacksonville go with the number one pick, Clint?
Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I think that's the one. I got about three locks in this draft, and that's one of them. I think everybody's pretty set on Trevor Lawrence being the number one overall pick here. A lot of smoke and mirrors goes on before the draft, but when people start going, well, word on the street is Trevor Lawrence has a Jacksonville playbook, and he's already acting as a player, as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. That's a pretty aggressive. That's some pretty aggressive smoke blowing right there. I mean, that's pretty specific. It's pretty it's one of them that you don't just throw around. Those are playbooks.
And this is the pick that every other team, if they were there, would draft also. And Clint, it's one thing to bring in Tim Tebow in as a tight end, but it would be another thing if Jacksonville decided to select anybody else. That would be crazy time. With the Jaguars. So we both have Trevor Lawrence going number one. Number two, this is where it gets interesting, a steak dinner on the line here. Where do you think the New York Jets are going to go?
I've been hell on Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, what do I think's going to happen? I think Zach Wilson goes to the Jets.
Is that where you're going? Yes. Zach Wilson is going to the
Jets.
I'm
keeping my bet alive. My pocketbook, my bet's alive with you. I'm just... For the sake of what we're doing in this segment right here, I think Zach Wilson goes number two to the Jets.
Me too, and I am really, really concerned about that combination. And all my mind, if you were to say who of the quarterbacks that could potentially go, and we think five could go in the first round, we know five will go in the first round, potentially five in the top 10. The biggest bust rate, I would say Zach Wilson. When you combine the competition he's played, when you combine where he's going, the organization and where they've been, Zach Wilson would be the guy that I would have most concerns about being a bust. So we're both there on Zach Wilson. This is where we've been talking about. The number three pick, the San Francisco 49ers, they traded up three first-round picks to get up here at three. Where do you have the Niners going?
I'm going with Justin Fields. I've been sticking to my guns on that one, man. I think that's where the 49ers – are leaning right now, assuming they don't scoop up our guy Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, I want to give you a chance on the bet.
Okay.
Double or nothing. Right now, we have a bet that that Zach Wilson will be the second quarterback taken off the board. If Justin Fields goes third tonight, I won't make you have to pay the stake bet. If Justin Fields goes third, because I know you really believe that's where the Niners
okay.
were.
Yeah,
if Justin Fields goes third, I won't make the stake bet happen.
I'll ride that.
Because I don't think he will. I think it will be, but I just can't believe. That audio that you brought to the table yesterday from Kyle Shanahan has cinched it for me. I think it will be Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance will be the pick for the Niners. There's no way they could go up and go to do everything they did to draft Kirk Cousins. They're going to take a chance to the guy who could potentially be special. I think the Niners go Trey Lance at pick three. Pick four, the Atlanta Falcons are right there. Where do you see the Falcons going tonight?
Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people say the most talented guy in the draft. Do you like that spot for him? Especially if Julio is there with everything surrounded, Matt Ryan and that Arthur Smith offense. Do you like that spot for him?
I don't. I don't like that spot for him really? with what Atlanta, where Atlanta's at. You know, Atlanta was bottom half of the league last year in offense. Matt Ryan's a year older. Talking about getting rid of Julio Jones. I think the Falcons right there should take whichever quarterback's available, whether it's...
You think they should go quarterback too? I'm surprised they're just saying we're going to sit here with Matt. Somebody said they think Matt Ryan can play another 5 years.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, I know these guys are. I know these guys are playing deeper into, or I guess into their 40s, where they didn't used to, I guess. But yeah, I think the Falcons should draft Fields or Trey Lance there, and plan for the future. Because I think both of those guys would be very, very good fits behind Matt Ryan. It's not a ruffle the feather kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's a Matt. I think everybody involved knows Matt's at the end of his run. Yeah, I mean, I think, and he's not playing at the level of Aaron Rodgers, and so I don't think this is something that both parties could agree on. I don't believe that Pitts all of a sudden. I don't believe one skilled player all of a sudden takes a team, from middle of the pack, lower half of the league total offense, to all of a sudden they're top eight, top five offense in the game. I don't see that happening. Pitts is really good. I think he's highly overrated at this point, but he's a really good football player, and I think the Falcons end up taking him at four.
I'm with you, too. I think they go Pitts as well. All right, pick five, the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow was their number one pick coming off the ACL. Where do you think they go?
Penae Sewell.
You think they go with the offensive lineman?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you don't. I mean, the more I've thought about this one a lot, this five, six, seven, this is an interesting run in the draft. Look, I don't know how, given what Joe Burrow went through last year, given what you've seen him be able to do when they do protect him, I don't know how you don't go get a lockdown left tackle over. To me, this is the best. This is the guy right behind Trevor Lawrence for prospect in this draft for me. This is a guy that is the closest to his peers the minute he steps on the field to the best in the game. I think he's a guy that you could draft in Cincy, and you've got your left tackle taken care of through the first one, or hell, possibly 2 years of Joe Burrow's second contract. And so I like the big tackle out of Oregon here.
I think it's Ja'Marr Chase. I think the receiver at LSU, I think Joe Burrow is going to be talking him and have been talking him up in a major way.
They drafted
Jonah Williams from Alabama a couple years ago to play left tackle. So I think that's what gives them the opportunity to go after the big-time wide receiver, pair him with T. Higgins. I think that's where the Bengals go. Pick six, the Dolphins. They've done a lot of movement here. Where do you think the Dolphins will go?
I like the Dolphins going with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
I like Ja'Marr Chase there. It's hard for me to think he's going to get by the Bengals. We talked about this a couple days ago. If he and Joe Burrow are as tight as you think they would be after what they did in college, it'd be hard for Joe Burrow to let the organization in the Cincinnati Bengals let him slip. But there's one thing that'll make a quarterback pump the brakes a little bit on a receiver, and that's getting him protection. And so I think Ja'Marr Chase falls to the Dolphins, and I think it's a perfect fit with Miami. They need help at the wide receiver position in a major, major way.
Yeah, I go wide receiver as well, and I think this is where the Heisman Trophy winner goes, Devontae Smith out of Alabama. I do think they want to continue to upgrade and get weapons for Tua, and I think Tua also talks up Devontae Smith as well because he played with him at Alabama. So I like Devontae Smith going there for the Dolphins. All right, pick seven, the Lions. Where do you think the Lions will go?
A lot of people think they're going to trade out. I look at the Lions, and I think they go offensive line as well. The big boy out of Northwestern, Slater.
Yeah, Rashawn Slater.
Yep. I think he's another offensive lineman that, boy, he's when you hear him, when you hear evaluators talk about him, there's just not a weakness. And I think the Lions are in a position where, for one, I know Dan Campbell. I know what he's about. He's a dude. It ain't going to be about quarterbacks. It ain't going to be about skilled players. I heard Dan Orlovsky the other day talking about, Dan, don't do what everybody in Detroit's done
go
before
big.
You and go with all these skilled guys and think you'll take care of the – go big, go with the offensive linemen. I know Dan personally, and I know Dan understands that you can't win football games without taking care of the offensive line of scrimmage and the defensive line of scrimmage. He's got a big tight end that he's already in love with in T.J. Hockenson. I think if the Lions can secure Slater, the big tackle out of Northwestern, I think that would be big for them.
See, I think this is where the craziness starts. I think a trade happens, and I think this is when the Patriots come up. And I think this is when they go and get Mac Jones. I think the Patriots come up and trade with the Lions to get Mac Jones and to get their quarterback, and the Lions go back and get even more picks because I think they feel like they understand they're not ready to go right now. They got a lot of picks for Matt Stafford. I think they get even more picks right here. I think they trade back, and this is where the next quarterback comes off. Eight, the Panthers. What do you think the Panthers
go? Oh, man, this one, I'm torn. I think this is where – The first defensive player comes off the board. I think Horn goes there, corner out of South Carolina.
Yeah, they need corner. I think for me, still on the board. I think this is where Sewell goes, the offensive tackle, because I think they would trade out if he's not there. But since on my board he's there, I think they go with the tackle out of Oregon, who's thought to be the best offensive lineman in this draft. What about at nine, the Denver Broncos, who just got Teddy Bridgewater yesterday in a trade? Where do you think they go?
This is where I think the Broncos trade out. I think the Broncos make a trade with either New England or New Orleans, and this is where Mac Jones goes out of Alabama.
I agree. I think there's a trade out also with Denver, except I think this is where the Bears come up and try to get their quarterback, and Justin Fields is still on the board. I think the Bears come up and try to get Justin Fields there at nine. And then 10, the Dallas Cowboys. What's the offensive player you have Dallas getting?
Who? Nobody. No, don't even shape your mouth to say the letter O. This is defense, man. This is Patrick Surtain all day, every day. I think they'd have a tough decision if Horn is still on the board at that point in time, because I think it's – you hear some people talk, Horn's probably got the higher ceiling, but Surtain's a little bit more a little more safe draft pick. But both of them, I think, are zero doubt top 10 picks, and I think the Cowboys go Patrick Surtain Jr.
I completely agree. Patrick Surtain, I think he's going to be the guy there. They need to shore up that secondary and cornerback position. So that's the way we see the top 10, barring something crazy happening with Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, and then all hell will break loose and none of that will matter. But that's how we see the top 10. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. We've talked about with the Texans a lot. What will they do? Will they trade up? Will they trade down? Nick Caserio kind of gave a glimpse into how he looks at trading up or trading down in draft.
We're at 67 right now, right? So to try to make any calls about trades or moving is probably not realistic at this point. But again, if you get to a certain point, you're looking X number of spots, and then you're looking at some of the resources that you have. Okay, how much is it going to take for us to get here? All right, there's a specific player that we want. All right, is it actually feasible for us to do it, right? So we've handled it both ways. We've done it both ways. But those are very organic. I wouldn't say there's necessarily a set formula to them.
We got to read between the coach speak, and we got to read between the rights. You know what I mean? There's a lot to read. But to me, when I hear Caserio talk in their show, it's pretty simple. Like, sitting at 67, and with their current draft situation, their third and fourth round picks is really the two premium picks they have. You can package the Texans could package every damn draft pick they got this year and can't get into the first round.
Yeah,
right. That's just not going to happen. So when I hear Caserio say,
and they're not giving up next year's,
right? Well, hell no, they ain't in the giving up game. Yeah. Right. I mean, it to me, it's one of those where when I hear Nick Caserio talking there, it's like, look, we don't have the ability to move into the first round. So that's silly talk. Let's couch that. Let's shelve that for right now. But what I do hear him say in their show is, if there's a player that falls late in the second round, or maybe a couple of picks ahead of us in the third round that we really, really like, then we may get aggressive and move up and get that particular player. I don't know who that player is. It wouldn't, when you're talking about corners in particular, I know defensive back coaches fall in love with certain traits. In players, whether it's the intangible of just don't back down, gets up in their grill, has unbelievable confidence coupled with some pretty good skill, or it's crazy skill that there's length involved, the physical abilities there, and they feel like they can get him there mentally. Regardless of what that is, the Texans could very easily be in love with one or two of those middle ramp, late second, early third corners, and they feel like they need to jump up into the late second to get him, move up 6-7 spots to get him. I hear Caserio saying right there, we'll consider that. That we could package some things up and potentially have the value to move there. So pay attention. What I'm telling the fans is pay attention to late second round. At that point in time, the Texans,
because they can realistically do that.
They have the value. They could, and I don't know what it's going to take. I have no idea. But you could take that early third and a fifth, or early third and a sixth, or whatever it may be, and package that together to move up four spots into the late two or up earlier in the third. I mean, that's something that I think Caserio's saying, hey, not likely, but yes, possible. Otherwise, we're going to sit tight at three in the third round. We're going to sit tight at 67 in the third round and just see what's available to us.
Well, the first thing we do know that it will take is, according to him, player-driven, it's going to mean that they really, really like somebody up there. Yeah. Somebody up there that would even make them think that they need to make a move to go up to get. And that could very well happen, but that's the first thing it would take. And, yeah, I think the thought to get back, the only two ways they can get into the first round is Deshaun and Laremy Tunsil. Those are the only two ways. And we talked to John McClain, who we've had on and we'll have on tomorrow on the 4 o'clock hour. He said Laremy Tunsil's not going anywhere. Now the Watson thing is still interesting, what we're hearing and seeing that teams are still looking into that. But those are the only two realistic ways. But realistically, I think end of second, maybe closer to the middle of the second, they've got the ability to get there. But it first starts with a player that they would really, really want. And we'll see. We'll see if they feel like something is worth it. I have a feeling that there's not going to be a player that they feel is worth it to go and give up the picks that they have. All right, a lot going on. A lot going on. Draft day. Draft coming up in a matter of hours. And it's not dead. It is not dead. There are teams looking in at Deshaun Watson. We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.